In September, John Edwards told a hometown crowd that he doesn't just want to be their president, he wants to be their advocate.
You know, the truth is, folks from here in Robbins, they don't have any lobbyists in Washington, D.C. They don't have any lobbyists working for them or fighting for them. They count on their government to protect them, to protect their interests. And they deserve a president who goes to work every day thinking about them, fighting for them, protecting them. That's the president that the people of Robbins need.
But can a multimillionaire trial attorney convince average people he's one of them? Democratic consultant Gary Pierce says don't count Edwards out.
I first met him when a friend of mine who's a judge told me that he had a friend who had been successful in law and was interested in running for office, getting into politics. And he said he wanted to run for the Senate. And I said, well, state Senate? He said, oh, no, United States Senate. And I said, well, this I got to see.
What Pierce saw was a man of ambition with the warmth to connect with people. Edwards had spent the past 20 years suing doctors and corporations on behalf of injured people. He made North Carolina history in 1993 when he won $23 million for a little girl who lost most of her intestines in an accident with a faulty pool drain. But for all the people who benefited from Edwards' legal work, some of those he opposed still feel a sting. Dr. Peter Gentling performed an unnecessary mastectomy because of a lab error. The ensuing lawsuit forced him into early retirement. Gentling says his insurance company's representative agreed to settle at the mere mention of Edwards' name.
She said, this man is exceedingly intelligent, and he is theatrical. There's a mixture of not only fact, but a lot of emotion involved. And he's very good at that. And he sways a jury very thoroughly and very well. And everyone here is afraid of him.
Edwards was convincing in the courtroom, and he's no less so on the campaign trail. At a Raleigh event for black supporters, he told the audience he couldn't succeed without them.
I need you not just here in the state of North Carolina. I would love to have you knocking on doors with me in Iowa and New Hampshire. What a good thing for them to open their door in New Hampshire and hear a southern voice on the other side. That's a good thing.
Edwards worked hard to increase black voter turnout when he ran in 1998, and he got 90% of those votes. Some supporters plan to travel to South Carolina for that state's early primary. John Edwards must win it to remain viable, and 40% of the Democratic voters there are black. North Carolina's NAACP President Skip Alston plans to make the trip across the border.
I don't know that much about Mr. Deans and the rest of the candidates, but John Edwards knows what it's like to have to work for a real living, and the people know him and respect him.
One issue Edwards did not mention in this setting is Iraq. A majority of black voters continue to oppose military action there. But supporters like Alston say they're willing to overlook the fact that Edwards voted with the president.
He did what he thought was right at that particular time. Hindsight is 20/20. And if he knew what we know now, I don't think he would have ever supported it, because he wouldn't have been for sending our people over there for an unjust war at this point.
Despite support from black voters, the overall response to Edwards' presidential bid was initially lukewarm. When he began campaigning last January, polls found that less than 40% of North Carolina voters supported his run. Back home in Robbins, even supporters like 90-year-old Myrtle Hall are concerned about his chances.
I wish that he'd waited for more years. I think it would have helped him. I'm afraid he'll get big. But now I'm for him all the way.
John Edwards doesn't share her worries. He's confident he can come out of nowhere to win, because he's done it before. For the Home State Record Project, I'm Julie Donley.